It's not uncommon for couples to spend months and even years preparing for their wedding day. The flowers, the food, the venue, every detail meticulously planned. But what about the marriage that follows? In today's lesson, we'll explore what the Bible says about the most important part of a wedding, the marriage that comes afterward. In today's lesson, you'll learn how you can build a strong, loving and God-honoring marriage.
I've read that the average wedding today is costing couples, and perhaps their parents, tens of thousands of dollars. Dinners, receptions, travel, all the invitations, photography, and then all the time that goes into planning the event. It adds up to a lot of work and a lot of money. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting a beautiful wedding, unless you're the father or the bride and you got to pay for it. In that case, a backyard wedding with a barbecue afterward sounds a lot better. Well, with all that goes into a wedding, you would think that people ought to give some thought to what happens a day or two after, a month after a wedding. But that doesn't seem to be the case at all. Hours of counseling and planning are usually not a part of the picture after all of the wedding paraphernalia is put away. Have you ever thought about the fact that the New Testament doesn't give us any details of a wedding ceremony, but it gives us a lot of counseling about the marriage relationship? And as we sail back today into 1 Peter, we've already studied what it means to be a good citizen and what it means to be a good employee. Now here in chapter 3, Peter's going to show us what it means to be a good husband and a good wife. This is what a marriage relationship ought to look like after the wedding is over. Well, Peter begins by talking to the bride here in verse 1. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands. Now note that word, likewise. It points you back to what he's just said about submitting as citizens and employees and even submitting to the Lord Jesus, who modeled submission for us, who became a servant for us all. To be subject means to willingly submit, literally to rank yourself under another. It has nothing to do with your value, your essence. It has nothing to do with superiority or inferiority. It has to do with God's design for the structure and order of the marriage relationship. Now, we've studied other passages in the New Testament where the husband is to be the head of the home. He's to be the shepherd, not a dictator. He's to lovingly accept his responsibility as the one who will ultimately give an account to God for his shepherding leadership. Now, later on in this letter, Peter's going to tell the congregation to submit to their leaders. That doesn't mean the congregation is less spiritual or second class or unable to make decisions. This is simply God's design for the church. Have you ever thought about this? A congregation will never stand before God and give an account for their pastor, but their pastor will give an account for how he shepherded the church. Well, so also in the home, God's design is for the husband to be responsible for providing spiritual leadership. The wife is to serve as a faithful assistant. And by the way, a wise husband is going to quickly realize that his wife is capable of making 1,000 decisions that maintain a home and family with beauty and care and order. Let me tell you, my wife and I raised 2 boys and 2 girls. We would not have survived 1 week unless I had delegated to my wife all the authority and decision-making and financial freedom she needed to take care of our family. And it's been a wonderful partnership now for more than 40 years. And that's God's design, beloved. Marriage is not competition. It is cooperation. Now, in Peter's day, some of these wives were married to unbelievers. We know that Timothy had an unbelieving father, but his mother and grandmother stepped into that void and provided spiritual instruction for Timothy And by the way, even in a healthy home with believing parents, a wife can provide spiritual insight and shepherding roles as well. Now, these wives would have wondered, as they would have been married to unbelievers, now that they are new creatures in Christ, well, can they go find a new husband and a believing, a godly husband? And Peter answers that here in verses 1 and 2. He speaks directly to these women. Wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, you could understand that, they do not know the Lord, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Now, don't misunderstand, Peter's not saying that an unbelieving husband can be won to Christ without the word of God. A wife can certainly speak about Christ at the right opportunity. But Peter's cautioning a believing wife who might think it's all up to her, that maybe she ought to keep on the pressure, maybe put gospel tracts in his lunchbox, maybe tape scripture verses on the dash of his pickup truck. Now, what Peter's saying here is that instead of turning up the pressure, turn it down. Let your witness be without words, that is, without arguing. Instead of belaboring him, allow your behavior to send the message of God's love and grace to him. Now, let me just add a word here that Peter is not encouraging a woman to remain married to an abusive man. We've already learned from 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that if a husband does not truly consent to be married, in other words, if his actions prove that he doesn't want to be married, well, then a wife has a biblical right to divorce, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 12 and 13. I might be speaking today to women who are physically abused by their husbands. Peter is not saying here that you're to submit to that treatment. In fact, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, you have every biblical right to leave a man whose unfaithfulness or abusiveness communicates a lack of consent to dwell with you as a loving and loyal husband. I've heard pastors and church leaders tell wives that they ought to view physical abuse as if they were missionaries suffering persecution. Beloved, nothing could be further from the truth. Well, now what about the husband here in Peter's post-wedding counsel? Well, Peter says a lot in a few words here in verse 7. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. Now, let me tell you, men, this is not a suggestion. This is a command that the husband live with his wife with understanding. That is, he attempts to live with her with insight and consideration. Now, listen, this isn't going to happen, you know, the moment the wedding reception ends. This is going to take a lifetime of study, a lifetime of learning her unique challenges in life, her desires, her needs, and then as a loving husband, acting on that knowledge by encouraging and guiding her through life. That's good shepherding. A husband like that is going to be a lot easier to respect and submit to throughout life. Now, Peter adds a warning to husbands here in verse 7. He says to treat your wife with consideration and understanding so that your prayers may not be hindered. In other words, a husband who doesn't show consideration and honor is sinning against his wife, and his sin against her is actually sinning against God. Well, God isn't going to answer the prayers of somebody who is willfully sinning. I wonder how many men disrespect and dishonor their wives on Saturday and then think they can show up on Sunday and pray in church. Well, let me tell you, their prayers are just empty words echoing all around the sanctuary. So here's the bottom line in God's design for marriage. Wives, lovingly, respectfully submit to the leadership of your husband. Husbands, lovingly, respectfully honor and love your wife. In verses 8 and 9, by the way, Peter summarizes all his comments, and now he speaks to a broader context in life. Have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Let me tell you, the world is going to take note of a person who lives like this. They're going to say to themselves, you know, there's something really different about that man or woman. There's something really different about their marriage. There's something different about their home. There's something different about their lives. They're going to want to find out what it is. And then we get to tell them. We're following the design of God. He created us. He created marriage. He knows how it works. He knows how we're supposed to work. We're simply following God's wonderful creative design for life. So let's live like that today. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. A beautiful wedding day may last a day, but a Christ-centered marriage lasts a lifetime. Remember, as you align your heart and action with God's plan, you can be a light to the world, showing what it means to follow God's perfect design. Stephen's passion for training men and women for ministry led him to found Shepherd's Theological Seminary, or STS. Graduates are serving God across the globe, planting churches, and pastoring existing congregations. If you're considering ministry, STS offers a fully paid scholarship for qualified men pursuing pastoral work. The program is free, in person, and takes 3 years to complete at the Cary, North Carolina campus. For details, visit wisdomonline.org/STS. Even if full-time ministry isn't your goal, STS can help you grow in your understanding of the Bible and theology. Many students take one or two classes to deepen their knowledge without relocating or leaving their jobs. STS offers an online option for every course, making it convenient to study from home. For those who prefer in-person learning, there are classes here in Cary, North Carolina, in Laramie, Wyoming, and in Bryan, Texas. Stephen and the faculty at Shepherd Seminary want to invest in you, equipping you to faithfully interpret and apply God's Word. Learn more by visiting wisdomonline.org/STS. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. Come back next time to continue your wisdom journey.